Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hi, this is Billie Jean King.
This is Marion Bartoli.
I'm Mats Wilander.
This is Mary Carillo.
I'm Stan Wawrinka.
I'm Leighton Hewitt.
This is Yannick Noah, and you're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
Well, hello and welcome to the Billie Jean King Cup by Gainbridge Finals, where Matt Roberts is in Glasgow. Matt, how are you?
I've made it. I'm very well, thank you. I'm a little bit on edge at the moment because I feel like I'm in a place where I maybe shouldn't be. I am fine. I've been told that I can record here, but I'm sort of expecting someone to come in at any moment and kick me out because I'm in the press conference room, which is where I've spent the majority of today. And yeah, it just sort of feels like it should be off limits, but apparently it isn't. And I'm here.
Right. Yeah, because we should say, Tennis Podcast listeners, this is our second go at recording this particular show. We didn't get past, we didn't even press record, because just when we were about to, Matt was stationed inside the stadium. He showed me the camera view that he had from the very back seat in the stadium, overlooking the court that they're going to be playing on over the next week at the Billie Jean King Cup Finals. And then just as we were about to record, some music started up, and this was following what was going on with the British team, Matt?
It was an initiation ceremony for Olivia Nichols and Alicia Barnett, who are pretty unfamiliar names, but they've been called up by Anki Othavong to play doubles here in Glasgow, if required. And yeah, it's their first appearance in the Billie Jean King Cup, so they had to do an initiation. They were introduced by Heather Watson, and then they did some kind of rap. I can't put any more detail on it than that. I'm pretty sure Catherine would have been absolutely scathing of it, but it happened. And then, as you said, I thought that was over. I thought we would then have a window to record. Because I'd scouted out that as a good recording spot throughout the day. And then, of course, all these interruptions came. But I thought we had a window, but no, because they started practicing tomorrow's opening ceremony and started playing Comma, 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 Chameleon.
From Culture Club.
Yes, which, you know, might not have been the great background track for this podcast.
Check me out with the 1980s musical references. Okay, well, I'm sorry, listeners, that we weren't able to bring you exclusively the initiation ceremony on the quiet. Matt failed you. So we've only got it for you anecdotally.
You're not missing much.
Okay. Right. Well, what we're going to do is preview the Billie Jean King Cup finals, which are going to go on until what? Sunday. Play starts tomorrow, Tuesday. So it's a lot to cram in. All of the teams are in town. We have had one withdrawal I saw from America. We were sort of speculating on it, Catherine and myself, this morning when we were recording our Paris review show and looking back on the WTA finals semis. And you and I were talking about it yesterday. Jessica Pegula and Coco Gauff, of course, playing all of those matches, going 0-9 over in Fort Worth and then facing the prospect of coming over to Glasgow. Well, Coco Gauff has made it, but Jessica Pegula hasn't. And I'm not hugely surprised. I do feel for her because I'm sure she would love to have been there. But what are they doing now, Matt, America?
Right, yeah. So Pegula is absolutely gutted that she can't be here. She was part of the team that helped America get to these finals. She played in the qualifiers back in April. I think it was pretty obvious, though, to anyone who watched her in Fort Worth that it was going to be tough for her to get here. So she isn't playing, and she's been replaced by Katie McNally, who has been in good form, just won a title at one of the lower levels, and she's actually arriving tomorrow morning. So Coco Gauff is already here. As you said, she just landed. She didn't make it in time for the press conferences today, but she is in Glasgow, and McNally arrives tomorrow to make up the USA 5 along with Taylor Townsend, Danielle Collins, and Madison Keys. And yeah, it's a big talking point. There's quite a lot of British press here and from the big newspapers, and they were asking those questions in the press conference. You know, you've been hit hardest by the close proximity of the two events. What are you going to do to try and cope with it? And Cathy Rinaldi, the US captain, used the words banged up to describe how she thinks Coco Gauff will arrive. It's completely an unideal situation, but, you know, I think everyone's hoping that the sort of adrenaline of a team event and the strength and depth that the US have anyway will help Coco Gauff be able to hopefully play some part in this event, which will be her debut in the competition.
Yeah, well, it does add something, though. I mean, look, it's a shame for Jessica Pegula, but it's an interesting variable because they are probably one of the strongest teams in the competition, aren't they? And this now damages them a little bit, their hopes. And I mean, it makes for a really compelling week ahead and the matches that we've got to look forward to. And we're going to preview as much of it as we can. Matt's been in all the press conferences today. This event is being played inside the same stadium that they hosted the Davis Cup semi-finals, I think, back in 2015 against Australia for Great Britain, when Britain had the run to the Davis Cup victory. And it was it also used a few weeks ago, this place?
Yeah, that's right. It was used for the Davis Cup qualifiers that took place just after the US Open, where Great Britain actually lost, didn't they, to the USA and the Netherlands, meaning they won't be in Malaga for the Davis Cup finals. Yes, everyone keeps sort of assuming that I've been here before because it's a very tennis-y venue. And as you said, it's been used a lot over the years. And I'm asking very basic questions like, where are the toilets? And people are looking at me like, haven't you been here before? But no, I haven't. So I'm still finding my way around.
It's a nice stadium, though, isn't it? It's and it's one of those that you don't actually need that many people in to create a noise. But I mean, what are you expecting in terms of people in the stadium generally? Are they expecting a decent crowd?
Well, I inquired about that today, and I got sent through some figures of what they're expecting across the week. You know, these are the sort of ticket sales so far. And what I should say is that it's a single ticket for each day. So it's not, so there are two sessions. There's a morning session and an afternoon session, but it's a single ticket. So therefore, the expectation is that the morning sessions are not going to be as busy, and then more people will probably arrive for the afternoon. And what we're expecting tomorrow, a capacity of around 4,800, around 2,800 of those tickets have been sold. And then it sort of increases from there across the week, and we're up to about 80% of tickets sold for the finals on Sunday. So hopefully there's some room for those numbers to go up. But as you said, if we're at 70 or 80% capacity for those matches in the afternoon sessions, I suspect there'll be a pretty good atmosphere in here, particularly, of course, for the GB ties. But, you know, let's be real here. The atmospheres may not be great for Slovakia, Australia tomorrow morning.
Yeah, no, understood. I think there'll be a decent walk-up, I would imagine, from locals, particularly for the Great Britain tie tomorrow afternoon. And should say as well, we'll put the link for tickets in our show notes for you, so that if anybody's interested in going along over the course of the week to this event in Glasgow, the Billie Jean King Cup finals, I mean, you do have some fantastic tennis players coming your way. And anybody who's witnessed this competition when it used to be known as the Fed Cup. I mean, I covered it when it was in Bath and at the Copper Box in 2019, which is a Bath, certainly, I think. Is that the one where it was a repeat of Great Britain against Kazakhstan? I can't remember exactly where that one was played, but that was a brilliant tie.
Yeah, Great Britain, Kazakhstan was in 2019 at the Copper Box.
Right,
that was the last tie that Britain played on home soil, and then there's this sort of symmetry because Great Britain's first tie here tomorrow is also against Kazakhstan. So their homecoming is against the team that they last played at home, and I think, you know, the players are really trying to draw on those memories and hope that they can evoke some of the same emotions because, you and I were both there and it was a very, very special occasion back then.
Yeah, no, it was. I loved it. And the same with the Davis Cup. These are countries going against each other and the will, you know, I suppose we'll have to wait and see, won't we, as you said, for nations that aren't Great Britain, what the atmosphere is like, how many spectators come over from the respective, the various countries, and some are further away than others. I mean, Australia, for instance, you know, it's a big ask to get anybody over from there, but we'll see what sort of atmosphere over the week is created and be able to assess it as it goes on, as this event and its evolution continues to sort of find its way, really. And it's the same with the Davis Cup finals. They've made little tweaks, haven't they, year on year. But one thing we can be sure of, Matt, it's going to be a better atmosphere than it was last year because the place was, aside from you, deserted.
Yeah, that's right. There were very good atmospheres for the Czech ties, and that was pretty much it last year. It was very deserted. I was sometimes walking around that venue and you didn't really know there was even an event going on. And the press rooms were extremely quiet as well. Whereas here, with it being in the UK, there's a large British press pack here, and I imagine most of them will stay throughout the week, even if GB lose in the group stages.
Now we had these press conferences take place today, I imagine in the very room that you are sitting in at the moment, Matt, and you were reintroduced to your good friends from Switzerland. Now if anybody here doesn't know the story, a year ago, when Matt was covering the Billie Jean King Cup finals in Prague, the final was between Switzerland and Russia. And after it, there was a bit of controversy, a bit of tension, to say the least, over, what exactly was it over now, Matt? Can you remember?
Basically, Switzerland were unhappy that Russia, or the Russian Tennis Federation, as they were, had made a very late switch to their nominations for the final, which basically changed the order of their team and meant that they got the player they wanted to face Belinda Bencic rather than their number one, Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova. She pulled out in the last minute. So Switzerland were very, very unhappy, and they basically said that there was no injury and that it was a sort of manipulation and pretty much cheating. They pretty much accused them of cheating, and I was I was going to say caught in the crossfire, but I don't think I was. I was actually sort of prodding them and getting these quotes out of them because I was the only one in the room.
It's brilliant. And honestly, if you want to hear Matt's conversation with the likes of Heinz Guntart, the Swiss captain, and his team from last year, do go back and have a listen to last year's final tennis podcast, which is still available on our feed from the Billie Jean King Cup last year. And of course, we should add that Russia champions last year, not playing the event this year because of the invasion of Ukraine and the subsequent ban of Russia from both the Davis Cup and the Billie Jean King Cup. But Switzerland very much are in Glasgow. And so Matt was reintroduced to Heinz Guntart and the team. Let's have a little listen to that.
After reaching the final last year and having that end the way it did, I'm just wondering how much you've had your eyes on this event this year and presumably motivation's high to go one step further.
Yes, that is true. Motivation is very high to go one step further. When you have tasted victory, you want some more. It's a lot sweeter than losing, obviously. So it proved to us that we can compete with the best, and we have more or less the same team with, you know, one addition. And the girls are only getting better, so we're going to be difficult to beat.
It was obviously a new experience for everyone last year with the format change. I'm just wondering, playing it for the second time, is there anything that you learned last year that you're taking into this year, either to keep the same or do differently?
No, it was just
we learned last year. It's wrong question.
Yeah. It was just a confirmation how important doubles is in this event. Literally, it's not like we didn't know that before, but it's absolutely crucial. And somewhere it's actually nice that the doubles just counts as much as the singles does. Because, you know, throughout the year, most of the time, that's not really the case. It's almost like a little bit of an afterthought. Not in this event.
No, not in this event. I think Heinz Guntart makes a very good point there. And it is something that I love about this competition and Davis Cup as well now, is the way doubles is elevated. And it's a deciding factor in so many of these ties now, which I love. But what I also loved is just the little reminder of Jill Teichman popping up mid-press conference a year ago. Because if I'm not mistaken, Matt, that sounded very much like Jill Teichman, who just got involved in your press conference there without being addressed.
Yeah, she told me I asked the wrong question.
Didn't she say that last year as well?
Yeah, she made an off-mic comment last year as well. And yeah, honestly, it was like being transported back to, you know, a lot of the same people, Golubic, Bencic, Heinz Guntart, Teichman, all there. Not quite so tense this time around, but clearly there are some very, very, I don't know if bitter's the right word, but pretty bitter feelings about how that ended, and they want to put it right. They feel like they were wronged. So yeah, I'm very in on the Swiss team this year, as I was last year, and I'm absolutely fascinated to know whether they can sort of channel that feeling that they've got and turn it into good tennis. They were asked in French whether they felt like they needed revenge on this competition, and Heinz Guntart said that he felt that was a bit of a strong word, but he said nobody is going to out-try us at this event. They are highly motivated, I think, because of the events of last year's final.
That's a great line. Okay, well, Switzerland find themselves in a group with Canada and Italy in Group A. Basically, what are we looking at here? There are four groups of three teams in each group, and the top team in each group goes through to the semis.
That's right, yes. And in this group in particular, it's very interesting because Canada finally have got a strong team out. I don't know whether you remember last year, they had a team of Françoise Banda, Rebecca Marino and Carol Zhao playing their singles matches. And they did pretty well because they managed to win a tie.
Yeah.
But they were without Leila Fernandez and they were without Bianca Andreescu. And now both of those two are here. And it therefore feels like a bit of a fresh start for Canada, because there's been a lot of excitement about the whole generation of Canadian players, both on the men's side with Shapovalov and Ogier Aliassim, but also on the men's side with Fernandez and Andreescu. And yet those two haven't been part of a team together in this competition. In fact, Andreescu hasn't played this event since 2019, before she was a Grand Slam champion. You know, so much has changed since then. So I think it's exciting for Canada to have those two in their ranks. And Andreescu was pretty punchy about her form. She said she feels like she's been playing well. The only thing she's not happy with, this is a direct quote, is the 46 next to my name in terms of her ranking. And she said she wants to be top 10 in the next 6 months.
Wow.
Which was an exciting line, I think, as the lights have just gone out in the press conference room and I've been plunged into darkness.
This is just so much fun doing these podcasts with Matt. I now cannot see Matt on the Zoom. He literally can't see him. Anyway, I'm assuming you're still there.
I'm still here,
this
David.
This is so good.
I don't know whether I need to wave my arms and cause some movement for the lights to come back on, or whether I need to open the door or something. If you're happy with me staying in the dark, I can stay here.
Well, what I particularly like, Matt, was it was like the ultimate mic drop that I'm going to be top 10 in 6 months.
Yes.
And then suddenly the lights went out. It's fantastic. I tell you, I was just thinking how Catherine will be punching the air here in that quote. You know, that's exactly the kind of nailing the colours to the mast type of quote she likes. You know, say what you're going to do and go do it, especially if it's Bianca Andreescu. Oh, well, fantastic. Well, I can't see Matt, folks, but I can hear him, as you can. So I'm kind of in the same boat as you are, really, except I get to ask him the questions. The other team in this... Oh, I can see he's been illuminated by his own computer screen. You look like something out of the Blair Witch Project.
It's a very temporary solution. And I'm sorry for you, David, because it is terrifying.
I am going to screenshot this for our social media, because people need to see this moment that Matt has managed to illuminate himself in the most terrifying way. Okay, so Italy is the other team. Tell me about Italy. Are they very much the underdogs, would you say, in that group?
Yes, I think so. And they've been dealt a blow because Camilla Giorgi, who is, you know, one of their best players, is not here. But they've got Trevisan, Bronzetti, and I think Canada and Switzerland were both asked about Italy, and they said, you know what to expect, and that's a lot of fight, a lot of heart. So I don't think you can really underestimate anyone in this competition. You know, it's the finals, and this event has always had a history of throwing up surprises. So absolutely, Italy are in a really tough group because Switzerland and Canada have both got very strong teams, but you never know.
And players do tend to play above their rankings, don't they? We've seen so many examples of that, and other players can just wither in the spotlight of having their nation pulling for them.
Yes, and I do wonder whether, you know, we heard Heinz Günthardt there talk about the importance of doubles. Switzerland don't have a doubles specialist in their team, whereas if we're looking for where the difference might come in this group, Canada do. Canada have got Dabrowski, who was at the WTA finals. She's a very, very good doubles player, and you sort of feel like she might be able to combine with anyone to sort of boost the Canadian doubles team. So it's going to be very fine margins, I think, in this group.
Okay. And in Group B, we've got Australia, Slovakia and Belgium. So that will be getting underway as the first match of the day, won't it? Australia and Slovakia, did you say?
Yep, that's the one. Victoria Kuzmova. I can't escape her.
Oh, that's exciting. But you haven't crossed paths yet in Glasgow, Matt?
No. The Slovakian team held their press conferences yesterday, on the day that I arrived, so I wasn't actually at the venue yet. But
what a blow.
What a blow. But maybe I'll speak to her tomorrow. She's got a very good record in this competition. She's won 7 of her 8 matches.
And really?
At last year's finals, she beat Danielle Collins and the retiring Carla Suarez Navarro, which were very good wins for her. So they'll be sort of hoping that she can do more of the same against Australia, who are led by Aya Tomjanovic. And their captain, Alicia Molik, was pretty bullish about their chances. You know, I think she's counting on a lot of other teams, as we've talked about, having a lot of fatigued players because they've either been playing right up to the end of the season or even in the WTA finals. I think Australia are quite fresh. They're quite ready for this event. And, you know, they reached the final of the old format in 2019. Last year, they really punched above their weight. Storm Sanders played really well, and they managed to reach the semifinals. So they're no pushovers either. And then you've got Belgium in this group who have, of course, their number one player is Elise Mertens, but she's still at the WTA finals, so she is arriving very late. So again, they're in a bit of a tricky spot as well. So it feels like a very, very open group, I think, to me, this one. Maybe the weakest group, but also very open.
Yeah, but Belgium, they could be really strong, couldn't they? Because they'll be strong in doubles as well as singles, I would have thought.
Yes, they've got Alison van Ooytvanck, who's good singles player, good doubles player. I think maybe even Kirsten Flipkins might be here.
Of course. Which
Catherine will be delighted to hear.
She'll be straight up to Glasgow because she wants to see the continuation of the career that ended about 6 months ago. Okay. So that's Group B, Australia, Slovakia and Belgium. We've got Group C featuring Spain, Kazakhstan and Great Britain. I mean, it's quite interesting, isn't it? Tend to think of, because I'm British and because it's being held in Britain, I often think, oh, you know, Britain should do quite well in these things. But Britain have not been in the world group of this thing as long as I can remember. And obviously the format of this event has changed now. The team lost its qualification tie, didn't it, back a few months back, but got in because they got a wild card and they're the host nation for this finals event. But Anki Othavong, the captain, very clearly said in her quotes today that I read that Britain is the underdog team in this group with Spain and Kazakhstan. I mean, is that how it feels to you?
Yes, definitely. I think they're absolutely relying on those sort of elements of this competition that you can't quite quantify, such as home advantage. And they're going to need that because Kazakhstan have got Wimbledon champion Elena Rybakina in the team. And I think she's sort of their missing piece, really, because they've had Zarina Diaz and Yulia Putintseva play brilliantly for them. But I think those are players that can only get you so far. And someone like Rybakina, Grand Slam champion, she just adds some real pedigree to that Kazakhstan team. And then you've got Spain, who have Paula Badosa in their ranks for the first time. She's making her debut in the competition. I don't really know what to expect, to be honest. I mean, on paper, that obviously massively strengthens the Spanish team, but she's coming into this event having lost eight of her last 10 matches. And
wow,
without much confidence, without much form. I was in that press conference today and she said a very interesting thing, that she's looking forward to stopping representing herself as Paula Badosa and instead representing Spain. She basically said that it's been a tough year. There have been increased expectation, increased pressure, increased spotlight, and it's some real mental struggles, I think, for her. She's already had a holiday. She's taken a break already and has come back specially for this. So she said she feels pretty refreshed and reset, and I think being part of a team environment will help. But yeah, I just thought that was a sort of fascinating line, which she gave in Spanish, just that it's been hard being Paula Badosa this year. And I think at this event, she can just be part of a team. And hopefully this will be the event where it sort of all clicks for her again.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, Tennis Podcast listeners. David here. Now, you might know that I love a bit of cooking, and I think I'm quite good at it. But if I'm honest, even I get fed up trying to work out what to do every night. That's where Home Chef comes in. Being able to put together a delicious meal without the long prep and the cook times, well, that's pretty cool. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. They have over 30 options a week and serve a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. Now, for a limited time, Home Chef is offering Tennis Podcast listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life and, of course, free shipping on your very first box. Go to homechef.com/tennis. That's homechef.com/tennis for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard it right. Yeah. Oh, I hope the best for her because, I mean, she's spoken about the mental struggles she's had around the sport in the earlier parts of her career, and she's far from alone in that respect. But the fact that she speaks about it is of great help, I think, to other players to understand that it's normal to struggle and to find it difficult to cope really with your own expectations and the expectations of other people. I mean, Maria Sakkari's talked a lot recently about it. I think there are some similarities there in some respects. But I couldn't help but thinking that when you referenced her holiday, immediately that got my hackles up because I've already seen two players today post about their holidays in the Maldives and the Seychelles. So I think it's time for me to get off Instagram for the next 6 weeks, isn't it?
It's that time of year, isn't it? Was one of them Denis Shapovalov? I saw his post, yeah.
He seemed delighted with his circumstances. And I don't, I'm quite pleased for him and everything. And, I just don't want to know about it. All right. Go and enjoy yourself quietly on your own. Maybe I should just unfollow. Anyway, who have we got in there? So that, hold on a minute. That starts tomorrow. Britain against Kazakhstan. That's 4 p.m. local time, isn't it? With the Australia against Slovakia match first thing in the morning at 10 o'clock local time. Then we've got Group D, which is Czech Republic, USA and Poland. I mean, it is a shame, of course, that Iga Świątek isn't there because, I mean, just imagine if she was. You've got Czech Republic, who've got to be one of the strongest teams, certainly the strongest team over the last decade in this competition. The USA needs no introduction and is really strong now, even if Pegula is out. And you've got Poland, who would have been represented by the world number one. It is a shame she's not there.
It is a big shame. There were some rumours this morning among some very optimistic people that she might have a change of heart and that when the 11 a.m.
Go on, Iga.
When the 11 a.m. deadline for final team nominations came, perhaps she would be in it. But to me, that never felt likely. You know, I think as much as anything, she's making a point, isn't she, with her withdrawal from this event. She wants change. She doesn't want these two events to be so close together in the calendar. And had she then turned up, I don't know, would that have weakened her argument in any way? Maybe not. But I think, you know, it's kind of, you know, she's made it clear that the decision she's made and the reasons for it. And yeah, it would have been a U-turn, you know, reminiscent of a Liz Truss government if she... if she'd done it. And I just never felt like that was going to happen.
No. And I mean, look, I don't think anybody is defending or saying that it is the ideal situation. It's far from the ideal situation to be finishing the WTA finals more or less at the same time as this event is starting.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a lot of respect for all the players who are trying to make it work, you know, Coco Gauff, Krejcikova and Siniakova, Elise Mertens, they're all coming over at the last minute. I have huge amounts of respect for that. To be honest, I also have a lot of respect for the decision Iga Świątek made and the decision that Jessica Pegula has made that, you know, there are limits and pushing yourself too far can have knock-on consequences. So I don't sort of think anyone here has made a bad decision on a personal level. It's just, as you said, deeply unfortunate that these two events for the second year in a row are back to back like this with massive time differences and players are being forced to make difficult decisions that they don't want to have to take.
Mm. Yeah, and the ITF have made it clear that they're seeking solutions for the future. I'm sure the WTA are as well. And we were talking a couple of days ago about how the WTA finals are trying to figure out their location and their date year to year at the moment. It is a really tough environment out there in the marketplace at the moment. But, yeah, everybody knows that this isn't ideal either, because it's hurting this event. It's hurting the players who can't go. It's hurting the players who can go, who face this incredibly tight turnaround. The Czech Republic, USA, and Poland. What sort of turnout? Who are the picks, do you think, for these teams? Because I mean, and particularly in the case of Czech Republic, they've got such an embarrassment of riches, really, amongst their entire top 10 rankings in the country.
Yeah, absolutely. So Krejčíková and Siniaková are down to play. Obviously, they're in the final tonight in Fort Worth. They'll be coming over here late. But even without them, they've still got Karolina Pliskova, Karolina Muchová, and sort of back from the wilderness, Markéta Vondroušová, who won, I think, singles and doubles last week in Shrewsbury at the event, which is run by the tennis podcast listener and friend of ours, Dave Courtine, over there. It's a great LTA event. They get a lot of good players, and Vondroušová sort of made her comeback there and won it. So, you know, she sort of played herself into form perhaps already. So, yeah, a very, very strong Czech team, and their clash with the USA is Friday night here. So I think, you know, that feels like the tie of the group stages, even though there are lots of good ones.
Mm. Who did Poland go with now in the absence of Świątek?
They have the officially tricky Magda Linette.
Okay, yeah.
And then they also have Magdalena Frecz, who I remember played a very good match at Roland Garros this year, I think against Angelique Kerber, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. That was a cracker, wasn't it? Yeah.
And then they've got Martina Kupka and Katerina Kaua as well. So, yeah, definitely a weakened team. But kind of as we said about Italy, you know, you just, although they're in a tough group, you can't underestimate them.
Mm. No, you can't. Oh, it's going to be very interesting over the next few days. Can't wait for it all. Can't hope there's a great atmosphere. Hope Matt finds some lights.
I'm actually becoming increasingly worried that I might be locked in.
Oh, God. It's going well. It's going well, folks. At least I've done a screenshot of Matt in his Blair Witch Project dimly lit surroundings. This is amazing. I'm never going to forget this. So much always happens to Matt when he's on location at these events for us.
I actually did a podcast completely in the dark with Chris Clary at the Davis Cup finals once. It was the first time I'd ever introduced myself to Chris Clary, and he must have thought I was an absolute idiot because I'd chosen a location. We were plunged into darkness about 10 minutes into recording, and Chris, being the excellent guy that he is, just ploughed on, and we got an interview in the bag.
Yeah, the good news is we just tell you what happens anyway, regardless. So fantastic. Well, it all starts tomorrow, 10 o'clock Australia against Slovakia local time, then GB against Kazakhstan at 4 p.m. As mentioned, Billie Jean King Cup Finals website is the place to go for tickets. So we'll have the link for you in our show notes. We also have, Matt, a mascot for this particular episode, which is Mocha. And I remember Mocha from last year as well. We also had Mocha as a mascot then. Owned by Ryan Riley, Mocha is a 2-year-old chocolate Labrador retriever. Her parents were from Poland, but she was born in the UK, where Ryan lives with Mocha. And Mocha loves spending time chasing tennis balls, watching tennis, and, of course, eating and sleeping. So quite possibly related to Catherine. And anyway, we'll send a picture of Mocha to Catherine immediately, because that'll improve her spirits immensely. Mocha's there lying in the grass with a tennis ball in front, and just looking ready to go, frankly. Ready to go with the Billie Jean King Cup Finals, if Matt can find a way out of this locked room that he appears to be in. Anything else you want to report, Matt, before I send you off to go and get some sleep and some food and to get yourself rested and ready?
No, I don't think so. Oh, no, actually, yes. I found out today that the winners of the Billie Jean King Cup Finals this week will be given special blue jackets, a bit like the winners of the Masters in golf are given green jackets. And Blue is apparently a colour that Billie Jean King herself wore a lot throughout her career. And she has written a message that will be stitched on the inside of every jacket. And it will be, you know, to remind the players that the jacket represents ambition, gender equality, and the progress made by women in sport. So I thought that was quite a nice touch this year.
Yeah, it's beautiful. We'll retweet that post by Billie Jean King, which shows this jacket designed by Tory Burch, the designer. And I think it's a lovely touch, actually. And I think it's the sort of thing that will grow in appeal as years go on. You know, it'll become synonymous with the event, and good for them that they're doing that. And Billie Jean, I imagine, is going to be in your company at some point over the next week. Hope you get to see her.
She has touched down in Glasgow today, I'm told.
Fantastic. Hello, Billie Jean. She's listening right now. Hello, Alana, who's also with her. And it's going to be a fantastic week. I'm sure it is. We have our own personal mascots. I have Darwin. Catherine has Carter. Matt has the dearly departed Gerald. Billie Jean the dog is sponsored by Billie Jean King and Alana Kloss. It's amazing. Chris Albert Lee and Carl Weingartner are our executive producers and top blokes. And we have some shout-outs, Matt.
We do. We have Elizabeth Armstrong in Brookline, Massachusetts.
All right, Elizabeth. Brookline in Massachusetts. Have I ever been there before? No, I haven't. I want to go, though. It sounds very nice. Elizabeth. Do we have any Elizabeths playing tennis? I can't think of any.
No, I can't think of any either. I'm sure people will tell us if there are any.
Yeah, they're shouting at their devices right now, like I was over Laurie McNeil the other day when you couldn't come up with any lorries. But anyway, lovely to have you with us, Elizabeth. Thank you.
We've also got Jeff and Kate Cochran in Redmond, Washington, USA.
All right, Jeff and Kate, thanks so much. Coming as a pair, I like that. Supporting the tennis podcast and friends.
We have Jeff Tarango.
We do, absolutely.
And
do we have any Kates?
Kate, we have some KTs, don't we? Katie Bolter is here.
Yeah, she likes the old Fed Cup and now the Billie Jean King Cup, doesn't she? She's played some of her best stuff there. And actually, it was interesting reading the article today about her big wins against Kazakhstan. That was really where she announced herself to a lot of people in Britain, I think, and as a real big stage player. But then she had a stress fracture of her back, which put her back, and she's never really managed to get to that level again. I mean, she had a great result at Wimbledon this year, beating Karolina Pliskova. But who knows? Maybe she can rise to the challenge again. See, that's helped us, Kate, to get another anecdote out.
We've also got Matthew Moverhead in Los Angeles.
Right, Matthew.
Great name.
Not bad. Not bad. Like Matthew Roberts, who's currently in the dark. Matthew. L.A. Cool. Well, there's some good tennis players over from L.A. I touched down in L.A. when I was driving to Indian Wells, and I exited LAX airport. And my wife said, you've got the map, yeah? And I said, yeah, but I know where we're going. Turns out I didn't. I went completely the wrong way. Anyway, thank you, Matthew.
I feel like there's always a lot of anecdotes from that trip. I feel like it was a very eventful trip that you had. It comes
it
up
was.
A lot.
I suspect we haven't even scratched the surface yet. I made a lot of errors while I was over there. But anyway, not to worry.
We've got Brett Halsey in Miami.
Right, Brett. Like Brett Stephen, who was a tennis player from New Zealand, I think.
You're on your own with this one, David.
I better look that up.
I've actually thought of an Elizabeth.
Oh, have you?
Elizabeth.
Who have you got?
I've got Elizabeth Mandlik, the daughter of Hannah Mandlikova.
Oh, that's good. That is very good. And I can tell you that Brett Stephen was a tennis player from New Zealand, ranked 53 in the world. in the 90s. So I'm very proud.
Of course it was the 90s.
Thank you, Brett.
And the final one today is for Steve Shine, who is in Oregon. And Steve says that his claim to fame is that in the 1970s, he was a mid-level junior on the East Coast, and he won three games off McEnroe when they were both 13 years old.
How cool is that?
I'm guessing...
That is amazing.
I'm guessing John McEnroe.
Yes.
I mean, it would also be impressive to have won three games off Patrick McEnroe. Just slightly less impressive.
I reckon he won six against Patrick. Amazing. Well, thank you all so much for supporting the Tennis Podcast, for being a friend of the Tennis Podcast. That's what gives you access to all of our bonus content. That includes Q&As with Catherine Matt and myself, review shows of each of the four Grand Slams with contributions from some of our favourite people on voice notes. We've also got Tennis Relived, where we tell the story of people like Juan Martín Del Potro, as we did earlier this year, and Lee Na, and so many of the other great players of the past and stories of the past to do with the Grand Slams. And we're going to be opening that out next year and doing many, many more nostalgic lookbacks as well. Matt gets to go to the Wimbledon Library and just really get stuck into his research. I get to interview anybody I can talk to from my little black book of contacts, or phone, as it's known these days. Anyway, that's what happens if you become a friend of the Tennis Podcast. You get access to all of that. You can get shout outs, you can get intros to the show. We're going to very soon be opening up in a month's time pet mascots and all that sort of jazz that we have once a year for 6 weeks. We'll be doing that from December the 8th. But for now, we're going to be doing daily tennis podcasts from the Billie Jean King Cup finals with Matt on location in a dark room that is locked. We'll see if he gets out tomorrow.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.